Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5. Bottom of the hour, Kellen Sampson is going to join us to talk about the big Sweet 16 matchup against Illinois and how this team's playing. Looking great, great right now at the best time. Three of their last four games, Kansas, Arizona, Idaho.
Big listener of the show, by the way, Kellen Sampson. He told us that.
He what? He does listen
to the show. He said he listens to the show.
Yeah, he listens to the show. As well he should. Why wouldn't you listen to the show? Everybody listens to the show. Mm-hmm. Unless you're stupid.
Dell's mom used to listen, right?
We were called.
Did your mom your mom listen to the show? I know we were called that.
We were called the R word yesterday.
By a Kevin Durant fan, so it doesn't count.
By Kevin, might have been Kevin Durant.
They got that
was
from
it
KD?
Kevin Durant's burner?
Well, I mean, well,
I don't think he'd put KD fan in his bio.
No, that's a little too obvious.
Yeah,
or which makes it,
he's trying to make it look obvious.
Which obviously is the best thing. Who would ever think that a KD fan account would be him?
You make a point. I was going to say, wasn't he at that time, like, I don't know, going through a walkthrough, but that doesn't mean anything. He would have his phone with him on the court, so I can't even use that as a reason why it wouldn't be him. It could be. I don't think so, but it could be.
Our word just gets dropped pretty willy-nilly now.
Well,
doesn't take a whole
I
lot.
Mean, not that willy-nilly. You're saying the R word as opposed
to John?
As opposed to the full word. It's not being willy-nilly on this show. We don't
I mean, in a general sense, it is now.
Yeah, it's become a word
that's... Like, it's not that big a deal now.
Particularly
to
online.
To be called that online?
Online.
To be called that online, John? You're like, whoa! John's answer, whoa! Easy with the R word, buddy! Like, come on now.
Well...
Your timeline sees that a lot.
I didn't say... I said he was a little aggressive. He could have thrown in a low key.
Yeah.
To soften it a little.
Soften it a little bit?
I mean, yeah.
Then that would have been too obvious. We knew who it was.
If he said, yeah, now, see? Yeah, but if you just come out with the R word without the low key in front of it, it's very insulting.
Yeah, that's kind of like, so it's kind of like saying, with all due respect.
Well.
With all due respect.
Right, if you say low key.
If you say low key, it just softens it a little bit.
Like, just a touch of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's too, that's us. You're talking to just me and Dell and Raheel if he's listening.
Yeah. Or half a.
Yeah, half a. Touch ya.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for you. So are you sure you don't want to extend your Lent maybe a little longer to get rid of that one?
Let's get Milo in here. We haven't heard from Milo in a while.
Oh.
Que pasó, Milo?
Hey. Did I hear yesterday that Tillman, you know, Kelvin said that the team doesn't have any money?
Well,
did he say that?
That was
the
yeah.
team's poor.
Well, did he say they were poor, John?
Well, he did. He said we're the poor, one of the poors. Back. It wasn't yes. I don't know. Did he say it yesterday again? But he pulled back on that after he said it earlier this year.
Oh, I don't know about it. You know. Sometimes people say what they feel, Johnny.
I know it.
And I
know.
Think Kelvin feels like the wallet's a little thin. It's okay. No problem. By the way, I'd like to pine for a person.
I'll tell you this. The Cougs fans, you better step up. I know the tickets are a little expensive. I understand that. But it can't be any cheaper for you to go to the game what with sleeping in your own bed. So if you are – the Cougs better – there better be more Cougs fans there at this week, this weekend than anybody.
It's not even going to be close. It's going to be Nebraska by a long stretch.
I know.
And you know who else, Milo? You got your start in Iowa. The Iowa fans are going to be down here in full swing. Milo on a Ouija board. They say he's on a Ouija board.
You know, speaking of pining around, you know, when people pine for someone, I'd like to pine a little.
Go ahead.
If I could, we know, am I the Puma, the big Puma? Is he never going to get a mention in the Hall of Fame? Top 35 OPS.
Right. Well, he's out of the voting. First year, he didn't get 5% of the vote, so he was automatically kicked out after 1 year. But I would think that the Veterans Committee is going to look at him. But it's going to take 10 years to get there or whatever. So it's going to be a while. I think Lance Berkman absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And shame on you, all you voters, that just, I'm not worried about Lance Berkman this year. It cost him being able to ever be voted on again. You guys suck.
Tell me about it. Tell me. Johnny,
hang up on Milo on a Ouija board. That's enough of that.
That's enough of that.
Milo's not with us anymore, but it's kind of like we got to speak to him a little bit.
How many listeners never heard Milo?
That's tough.
The kids are all in school by now.
Yeah, but there's going to be plenty of college kids who never heard Milo Hamilton. Maybe didn't start watching baseball until the Astros or Astros baseball until they were good, which was 9 years ago. I mean, really, I count 15, but we'll call it 17. So, you know, 9 to 10 years ago.
When was Milo done?
Oh, I was at 790 and Milo would see me walking he'd just be around there recording stuff, Poblano Soup stuff. And then he'd see me, and he'd start walking the other way. He really didn't like me.
Well, no.
And he didn't like you either, by the way.
You can see that.
He hated 1560.
He died in 2015.
Uh-huh.
Was it 13 or 12 that he didn't broadcast anymore? That's 14 years ago now.
Yeah, there's a lot of college students who wouldn't even – there's 30-year-olds who might not have – because, like I said, he wasn't part of the Astros broadcast when they became good.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even know him. Just trust me, it's a really good imitation.
Yeah.
Really good imitation.
I don't know when he quit. Maybe around
2012 was his last year.
12 was his last year. That's 14 years ago now.
And they were not good that year.
No. No. So yeah, there's a bunch of
people. That Milo's a really good Milo imitation.
You got to catch up on Milo though, Milo. You got to catch up on somebody that people will recognize, maybe.
That's his guy, though. That's what he's known for.
Yeah.
That's like, people thought that I did, to this day, there's still a lot of people who think that I did Coach Slocum on a mobile. It wasn't me.
Right.
There's a guy named Hunter from A&M. It was an A&M fan. He's phenomenal. RC knows that he did the Slocum on a mobile. It was never me. I did not do Slocum on a mobile. I would not want to take credit for someone else's brilliance. It was an absolutely brilliant imitation that was done years ago.
He was an
and he's been gone longer than Milo has.
Yep. The only time...
Well, he's not gone.
The only time Coach Slocum didn't like it is driving into town with his son, and he heard himself doing a commercial for a strip club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. I don't remember doing it.
Yeah. I don't remember doing this commercial. Yeah, we had to cease and desist that one. 713-780-3776 is the number.
We had to cease and desist that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We had to when the former coach, was he former coach? Yeah, he would have been former coach at that time.
Spencer Arrighetti, sent to Sugar Land.
Wow.
Yeah, well, get starts. As opposed to just sitting there waiting for a long relief opportunity, go get starts. And, you know, that's the best way to do it. And if Weiss has to do that as well, that's fine, too.
2 years ago, it was just 1 year ago today that Spencer Arrighetti was the hottest name going in the city of Houston. And Dell was the one trying to tell us, why are y'all going off on Spencer Arrighetti like he's a hater.
He hates everybody.
Dell was a realist. He said,
hates
what?
Hunter Brown.
I don't hate Hunter Brown.
He went and looked at Spencer Arrighetti's numbers, and he said, why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are we so thrilled that Spencer Arrighetti gets an opportunity? He's fine. I mean, I hope it goes well, but I wasn't all in. I mean, and
you know why? And he's got stuff.
I understand that, but at some point, well, I'd like it to transform into production. And he got beat up by Lance McCullers. Espada said McCullers, he will get that fifth spot, and he was aggressive in the zone. That's one of the reasons McCullers will be your fifth starter, at least to start the year.
Yep.
Hey, when we come back, did you hear Charles Barkley said?
Did you? Combined, though?
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Okay. We can do gym of the day.
All right, let's do our gym of the day.
Which isn't really so much a gym if you're a
Rocket fan. Well, it is what it is. There's only so much audio we have, and this is going to be someone's Zadig Jewelers gym of the day.
It's the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. It's Zadig Jewelers gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. Zadig Jewelers gym of the day.
That's your gem of the day.
That's what he picked. The Bulls broadcast of a late game three by Josh.
I had Ian Rappaport talking about Jackson Smith and Jigmas.
No, you should have done Stephen A.
Oh, my God. You know what? This is what I just have to say. For some people, that's their thing, is they love the drama, I guess. Stephen A. Smith has a thing going where he just... Like, his own personal life is the most important thing.
Well,
I know, Whitlock is a turd on wheels. There's no question.
In fairness, Jason Whitlock is attacking him.
Yeah, you're right. But the fact that it turns, and look, Stephen A. Smith did annihilate him. And everything he said is true. I don't love the way Stephen A. Smith operates, but I respect him as a hard worker, as a guy who, I say hard worker, he puts in a lot of time. He needs to be more learned in certain things, obviously. I think he's become way too full of himself. Everything, he's very, very self-centered. Like, everything revolves around him, and he's super sensitive. You cannot joke with him.
Our future president.
I know. You cannot joke. Well, that's kind of a problem, too, is that he is now in the political space. But when it comes to working, that dude puts in a lot of time. Like, there's no days off for Stephen A. Smith. So I respect that. Jason Whitlock is just a troll. He just says the craziest stuff now. He loves to go after people. It's not my business. I don't care about either one of those guys, to be honest with you, unless it's in the sports space. And this is just personal attacks between the two of them.
I know a lot of people are after Jason Whitlock. I can't use the term. Jason Whitlock's new deal is you got to have white boys and surround them with some brothers if you want to win the NCAA tournament.
Oh, and the NCAA. I was trying to figure out which sport. Before you got there,
NCAA tournament.
Ah, so the Cougs really have no chance then.
Brothers.
So the Cougs have no chance.
Right. According to Jason Whitlock,
last year's Florida team had some white boys, as he would say, and then they had Walter Clayton Jr. and others. So there it is. Yep. That's his formula playing out right in front of us. Right. So
Duke has been that way for years, and blah blah blah.
Are white boys in college basketball less expensive? Because Kelvin Sampson, you know, they can't recruit the same level they have. He has said that because the money won't be there. Will they be able to get discounted white boys, but it actually helps them win a title?
Are they the WNBA of college basketball not getting equal pay?
I don't know that. This is why I'm asking. Because it would play into what Kelvin Sampson has talked about. Hey, this roster can't stay as good as it has because we can't recruit at the level going forward. So, are white boys cheaper?
I'm sure.
I would think there are some who are not that. Because
Cooper Flagg would have been expensive.
Well, Cooper Flagg is a different brand. He's a different flavor of white.
Ah, Okay. I just want to know.
And Connepple's now a different flavor of
black
beer.
He was a,
well, but he, I don't know.
I would have thought he was cheaper. I would, he'd have been cheaper.
I don't know what
flag.
He went to Duke, so I imagine he was
he
a big-time prospect.
He probably didn't even
prospect.
Get paid. He probably just did it for love of the game.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure.
He's just a love of the game signing.
I'm sure.
So let's go back to Stephen A.
He was a five-star, by the way, so probably pretty expensive.
Let's go back to Stephen A. We got, okay, so Jason Whitlock is attacking him all the time.
Oh, no. Are you going to play this?
Well, yeah. Of course we're
going to
play
it.
Yeah. We got
Porky Hall, fat ass, double wide.
Well, here it
I
is.
I gotta admit, we'll play. I gotta admit, listening, he did a long rant on him. Listening to another grown man in the media call another grown man in the media, you fat ass, made me laugh really hard at home.
It is such a junior high thing that they're involved in now.
I know, it really is.
And then Cam Newton's always involved in that kind of stuff too. It's just Ryan Clark gets involved, and it's like, what are we doing?
Here is part of Stephen A., the part we can play. Here is part of Stephen A. going after Jason Whitlock.
Nice studio. Something you can't afford. Somewhere along the way, you know what I'm contemplating doing, Jason? I haven't made a decision yet. But I'm thinking about starting a GoFundMe account for you. Because clearly you're that desperate. That's why you talk about me so much. Look at your numbers when you're talking about me and look at your numbers when you don't. I keep you relevant. That's perhaps the worst insult of it all. Fat bastard lock. That's the title of the GoFundMe account.
Dell's cracking up
fat
in the studio.
Fat bastard lock. That's for you, my brother.
Fat. Bastard lock.
Not because
lock.
Not Whitlock, I guess.
Oh, Whitlock.
Not because it's the most clever thing that I've ever heard. It's just the how dumb this all is. That he, not that you can't be a future presidential candidate and insult people this way. There's proof you can. But just, you fat bastard lock. That's the GoFundMe. Come on.
That's great.
If he's not one of the best entertainers in the world, I don't know who is. All the sports stuff, sure. You know, the stuff he's supposed to be good at. Well, you can have our questions. But the entertaining part, unmatched, unparalleled.
Fat bastard.
For people who haven't seen the video, he gets out from behind his desk just, hey, this is a suit you could never wear.
Yeah, oh no, it's...
Yeah.
You ain't, I'm going to show you.
You ain't got it like
because
me.
Because this suit you could never wear.
You ain't got it like me.
Yeah.
You're afraid to get out from behind it. When he says, you're afraid to give out from behind the
pretty
desk
much called him a mudslide.
Fat, rotund body can't even make it outside the
and
desk.
You have all of this, and inside of it is him talking about
he
how...
He grabbed money out of his wallet at one time and threw it in the air.
Well, that's the showmanship because it's
and then
that,
he said, you had to do this to get women.
It's that.
Let's
and
talk
it's,
about that, brother.
And it's all surrounded by how no one in the media likes you. You tear down our people in the media. It's all of that, which could there's some very serious things in there, but there's also I'm gonna get out from behind my desk and show a suit you could never wear.
he goes into his wallet, throws it's a total wrestling move. Takes like five $100 bills, throws them in the air. You know he had money put into his wallet so he could make this move, and then he goes, "Yeah, let's talk about that too, brother. The fact that you had to do this." That's your only chance of having women. We can talk about this too. And he's basically saying he had to make it rain at strip clubs to have a chance because you're disgusting, you fat bastard. Women don't want to get inside those folds to go find it. Like, oh. Can't we just talk about the draft or fantasy football or basketball, guys? Can't we just keep it clean, guys? March Madness is here.
No.
No.
Kellen Sampson's trying to help Kelvin Sampson win a title.
We're one segment away.
Do we really need to be going at it like this? And then he got mad at
Cam.
And Cam Newton.
For not stepping up.
When you have somebody come step to me like that, how come you did not address them and ask questions? Press that, brother. I'm like, oh, man. I'd already know John would let me get roasted.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I'd help.
John would let somebody cook me.
Oh, yeah,
if,
I'd help.
Yeah, you're Jason Whitlock, your enemy. If John had him on, he definitely would let him kill
him.
Oh,
you. I would
yeah.
love that.
He'd jump in,
that.
Too. He makes a fair point. Say something like that.
Hey, listen. It's hard to argue this point. I think they need Zadik Jewelers. That's what I think they need.
Yeah, you just had the gym of the day. Zadik does smooth things over. I will say that. I mean, a nice luxury watch from one man to another. I don't know how often that happens, but usually you just want to get it yourself. If you are looking for a watch to buy, maybe you want to sell your watch. Maybe you want to trade your watch for a different one. Why don't you do that? You know, a lot of people trade in cars. Luxury watches, maybe you have a Rolex. You say you want to get the brand new Rolex. Go trade in your luxury watch to go get another luxury watch. Maybe you pay a little bit on top of it. Maybe you want to downgrade and you get money on top of it. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do it. I just know they buy, they sell, and they trade. They have the finest brands from around the world, and they're a boutique location for multiple designers and sellers of the watches, so they get unique timepieces that no one else is going to have. Zadik Jewelers, this is five decades of greatness, is the unofficial jeweler of the city of Houston. People have been going there for years and years and years. 28,000 square feet. No one's as big as they are. No one's as badass as they are, frankly. It's amazing. Every time you step in to Zadik Jewelers, you're blown away by the selection, the quality, and of course, the service, which is second to none. They will help you find the perfect gift at Zadik Jewelers. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard for Mother's Day, for any occasion, is Zadik Jewelers.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. We got Kellen Sampson at the bottom of the hour, so we will not have a penultimate segment. Well, he'll be our penultimate segment. Second to last, that means. Dell, have we missed anything today?
We didn't miss it today. We missed it the last couple of days. We didn't ever talk about Carlos Correa nearly dying last summer.
You know, I've known this story for a while because I've got a buddy who's so... I didn't know that it was... I could have told this story a while ago. I heard Carlos with his youngest son, Kylo. He was swimming off the boat. He didn't have a life jacket on, and he nearly drowned. And Kylo had a life jacket on, but he was holding Carlos around the neck, and Carlos had a really, really difficult time. There was a buoy nearby. He barely was able to hold on to that. Finally, his father-in-law jumped in
and threw him a
life jacket, and Carlos was saved. I do know... because JT was invited to go to Carlos's house for Bible study, which they do in the off season every Saturday. Every Saturday they have Bible study. And, you know, Carlos is extremely, extremely religious now. Since the incident, he made a deal with God, and he is sticking to it. And so this happened in Minnesota, I believe. I forget where it happened. But Carlos has been quite religious, and has been, it changed his life. And so this has been going on for a while now. I didn't know that it wasn't a public story until just it came out this weekend. I was like, oh, maybe I should have told this story before.
Yeah, it was in the Chronicle. And so Carlos is serving Jesus. You know who else is? Jason Whitlock. He says, I'm not trying to be relatable. I'm only trying to serve Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so when I think of Christ, I think, you know, what Whitlock is doing reminds me in some ways being a Christ-like figure.
What are his most Christ-like attributes?
When he said joy looked like peanut butter color.
That
peanut butter skin. And he was
relaying that he wasn't allowed that temptation to get him.
Yeah.
Peanut butter skin.
You don't think my show grabbed that? I don't know. Yes, very Christ-like to acknowledge how you had to avoid attraction and temptation.
Yeah.
We were just talking about something really great, and look where Lance turned it. We're talking about Carlos and his faith, and look what you did.
No, because I think Carlos is out there trying. I don't see Carlos warring with other people on social media. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure Christ would have had an account looking for engagement farming. I don't think so. I don't think he would have said, God, what would get the most engagement today?
Do you think he talked about Mary Magdalene the same way that Jason Whitlock talks about Joy Taylor?
with peanut butter skin?
No.
No, don't think it happened. No.
I don't think so.
No.
That's why
I asked. What do you think are his most Christ-like attributes?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. That's why I'm really struggling with that one.
Well,
I don't feel like he's walking in that same path, but I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's just what I see on social media.
Jason Whitlock is a lot of people.
Many
people feel like he leans toward Whitey a little bit too much.
Well, the old grift.
Well, it's he does. There are times where he says stuff, and I'm like, "That's common sense. That's not." He's going to take crap for it. And there are other times I'm like, "I know what he's doing here.
Right?
I know exactly what he's doing because he knows that that plays exceptionally well financially. It's his best. It's his best play. People figure that out. I mean, Skip figured it out years and years ago. Skip Bayless is really the OG of understanding engagement. And also, he's the OG from sports. I saw it as early as the mid-80s. The guy who did it first in media, besides Skip in a national sense, was local, turned into national, was Howard Stern. Howard Stern even came out and said, as long as people have a strong opinion about you, that's all that matters. If they hate you, that's good too. It's okay for people to hate you.
We get a lot of that.
We just like being liked on this show. We have to break here because we also need to. Charles Barkley said he wishes his Rockets time wouldn't have even happened.
Yeah, I know. He didn't want to. He said he wishes he'd never been traded to the Rockets.
Maybe we'll play it tomorrow.
All right. We got Kellen Sampson joining us.
I wish we had Robert Ory and Sam Cassell the whole time too. Charles, don't worry.
Yeah.
We turned the Rockets into an old folks home unnecessarily.
Right. Well, we got Young Buck, Kellen Sampson, on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. We got Aqueduct Plumbing that we're talking about now. We're talking about Billy Brown. I was thinking the other day, as a matter of fact, because, you know, you shave and whatnot, and there's a lot of hair that goes down the drain, and I'm like, man, I wish I had Billy here. I really do wish I had Billy here. I don't know what I'm going to do if I have any plumbing issues here in L.A., because we're lucky enough in the city of Houston to have Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We're lucky enough to have a company that's going to come to your home, give you a square, honest opinion about what's happening and a fair deal. And they're going to be right there for you and not charge you to come to your house. So if you want to be preemptive and do stuff like, you know, if you've got old pipes, you want to change them out. If you've got a tankless water heater and you want to clean it up, great. But if you've got an emergency, Aqueduct, Lance.
Yeah, Aqueduct Plumbing Company for emergencies, for small jobs, for large jobs, to move your gas lines. If you're building something outside, if you need a new water line, maybe you're doing, you know, construction stuff. They can come in and handle all of your plumbing needs for your construction. You could tell your foreman and say, hey, we're going to have our plumbing guy come in and do this whole bathroom. So they can do all that. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. If you can hear our voice, they can get to your home, and you can use their services. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Bringing in Kellen Sampson, associate head coach, coach in waiting. He is the guy that is right there every day with one of the best college basketball teams in the country. So here we go. What a week here in the city of Houston. Man, we got so much going on, but the biggest and best of it all is our Cougs playing another late game on Thursday night. Kellen Sampson joining us once again here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here. It seems like every year, you guys get the late games. How tough is it all day long waiting while you're watching all these other teams play?
There's a little Christmas Eve vibe to it. I would liken it to you wake up Christmas morning, and the only thing you want to do is run downstairs and start tearing open packages, and you got to wait until your grandma and your grandpa and your auntie and your uncle and your cousin and everybody comes all day Christmas Day, and you gotta wait until Christmas night to open stuff. you know, you're just a boiling plate of nerves and energy and excitement. But the upside is look, the people who matter the most, America wants to see the Cougars. And they put us at a time slot that they think America's watching. We've had a unique ability to captivate the country, and in a NIL world, in an NIL society, that ain't all bad for our guys either. So you got to take the good with the bad.
It is true. The TV ratings have been good for the Houston Cougars.
Yeah,
it's been good dating back to last year. So what you're saying is accurate.
It doesn't hurt recruiting, fellas. No. I'll tell you that.
No, and especially the style of play. You guys got back to it. Man, that Kansas game in the tournament was just incredible. Arizona was tough. What a comeback you guys made, though. That was showing that heart. And then the Idaho and A&M game, back to what we've been used to over the last 5 years or so. So three of the last four games, Coach, look like these past teams that you guys have had for the six, 7 years.
Yeah, I thought we hit, and I hope this isn't an omen, because last time I was on your guys' show, we laid an absolute egg against Arizona at home. And so I'm going to do my very best not to call you guys the curse here. But
we'll be the first time we've been called that, Coach. We've been called that.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Oh man, I tell you what, I've been called worse, and it's been true, so I get it. I thought we hit rock bottom when we played Arizona at home. We got exposed. A lot of our deficiencies and inadequacies got exposed that day. But there was a pretty clear path forward for us coming out of that game. We didn't have a chance to really make a lot of the changes we knew were necessary in time to beat Kansas the first time. But I thought, as difficult as that 8-day, 3-game losing streak stretch was, there were three games on the backside to end the regular season that allowed us to chart a new path forward. It allowed us to shuffle the deck in a lot of ways and get us back on the road, get us on the right road. And I thought coming out of those three games, we felt as a staff that the best version of us was out there. We had to do some adjustments and some tweaking in order to get there. It's the genius of Coach Sampson that, you know, we're the best version of us that we've been all year at the right time. And we get a chance to keep playing and keep marching forward this weekend, and we couldn't be more excited.
Boy, so give us an idea. You know, there's always been the thought of, there's usually around February a freshman becomes a sophomore. You got a couple of big-time freshmen on your roster in Flemings and Sanak. Give us an idea of, you know, you've had, it's a little different build out of the roster. You've had grinders and you had these physical guys. They weren't a bunch of five stars, things like that. And now it's kind of, the roster's changed a little bit, and you had two very young players who've played prominent roles. How has the roster progressed as a unit in your estimation from the beginning of the year to now? Can you give us an idea of some of the amalgamations and some of the changes that you've personally seen from having two young guys who've had to become grown up fairly quickly inside the season?
Yeah, no, I think early in the year they were playing kind of off talent. They didn't have a lot of knowledge of our system or maybe exactly how it is that we peeled the orange here. They were just super talented and we got them to play hard. And then as the year's gone on, they've started to really, really understand the layers with which, you know, our defense works, and they've become more connected with the other guys, as opposed to everybody else always helping the freshmen. As the freshmen have gone on here, they've learned the system well enough to also start helping the older guys. And that's made our team a lot more connected. I think that it may be the biggest adjustment or seismic shift is I think both of those guys, because they had so much success early in their freshman year, maybe they didn't truly respect the process of college basketball. And then as the year's gone on and they've had some adversity, they got knocked on a keister some, they got hit in the mouth. I think they've learned to respect the process of getting ready to play a monster game. They've learned to respect the mentality and the focus and the level of concentration that it takes to win a heavyweight fight. And the only way you get that is you just got to go through it. And as painful and as embarrassing as the scars that losses leave, they also tell an awesome story of a fighter that's been through something. And when you've got a scar on your face, or you know, that's an awesome reminder of what can happen when you don't have the right approach and mentality. And so as the year's gone on, our guys have gotten to where they respect losing enough to find winning. And I think that's the mark of a good team.
Kellen Sampson with us here on ESPN 97.5. Huge game against Illinois on Thursday night. You know, we talk so much about the young guys and the difficulties of coaching those young guys through it. But JoJo has had his problems with foul trouble. Emmanuel has been really, I mean, he's had his struggles shooting the ball at times this year. And I thought Milos has, Coach even said it after the three-game losing streak there, he said, you know, I had to talk to Milos about getting back to being himself. He had 26 against Colorado right after the three-game losing streak. But did he defer too much to Kingston early on this season or throughout this season? And was it he had a tough time last year when he came in, you know, adapting to a winning team. And now did he have a little bit difficult time letting Kingston take over the team somewhat offensively?
You know, I think when you have the success that we had last year, everybody's was so comfortable in their role and everything was so grooved out with last year's team. And then we had the success that we had. I think that there's a natural inclination almost you want to stay in that role. And the truth of it is that, you know, all three of those guys are having a much better statistical year this year than last year. It's just that this year their role, the expectations for those three on individual levels were higher. And so maybe they didn't take that next climb to that All-American status that I think some of a lot of people thought that they were certainly capable of, and some of that's is certainly explainable. But you know, last year's team, we lost 23 years of college basketball experience, whereas this year we had a lot of fresh faces, and so the adjustment it wasn't just the deferring, it was, man, I'm having to lead. I'm having to really push and pull along somebody that, no fault of his own, has never done this. And so we've actually put more food on Milos, Eman, and JoJo's plate this year than ever before with the intangible stuff. And they've done awesome in handling that. And I think that the weight, the extra weight that we put on their shoulders, you know, has been heavier at times than others. But again, I think all three of those guys are playing at a ridiculously high level right now. You know, all three of those guys, there are three best defenders. They're the three guys that we trust the most to do the winning stuff. And I know that if we're able to have this conversation next week, it's because those three had a heck of a weekend.
Yep. We got Kellen Sampson with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Can you talk about, because they weren't part of it early, but McCarty and Mercy and how their roles have evolved with this? They played some huge and made some huge baskets for this team.
Yeah, that's a big part of shuffling the deck. Is that you know, at one point we were 23-2 this year, and we were the number two team in the country. So it's not as if what we were doing was off. But we were maybe a degree or two off from maybe becoming the best version of us. All year, our bench had kind of been just a jumbled mess in some ways, in that nobody had really stepped forward and just grabbed it. We as a staff, we kind of just let it be an open competition all summer, all fall, all non-con, all early part of conference. Nobody really just grabbed it and firmly established themselves. But as it relates to Mercy and Chase, both of those guys, you know, and for really good players, the natural progression is that second semester of your sophomore year is when things really start to click for you. You've got enough system knowledge that you can start applying the things that you know, and you just start knowing how to make the system work when it's not by the book. You can really live in the gray areas. Both those guys, what's awesome about both of those kids individually is they have awesome self-confidence and swagger and belief amongst themselves. And so even when maybe they weren't getting the minutes or the opportunities that they thought, they never tucked their tail. They never bowed their head. They both had enough confidence in themselves that, look, when I really get my moment, I'm going to swing my sword and nobody's going to be able to hold me back. And that's where sometimes I thought our 2023 team, we were in the American Conference, and we just steamrolled everybody, and we never got exposed for the fallacy that we were. Whereas this year's team, because we were in the Big 12, we got exposed, and we were able to shuffle the deck, get to the best version of us, which included Mercy and Chase in large prominent roles. And so there's a bit of gratitude that losing sometimes, as painful as it is not a bad thing. It'll reveal answers, and it's up to you to listen to them. And Coach Sampson had enough courage to do what was necessary. And as a byproduct of that, we found a really good version of us.
I want to ask you about the old coaching adage of you either, adjust to the talent you have, or you have your talent, play to your system. That's, are they going to do what you do? Or are you going to try to adjust to what the players you have? And that's a philosophy that gets into your recruiting. It starts at the very, very beginning. But obviously there's some, your defense and your effort and all that stuff, those are non-negotiables. We already know that. I'm curious about Coach Sampson and how you think, as from an insider looking inside, how you think the adjustment period was to have such an aggressive offensive talent, an explosive offensive talent on the ball like Kingston Fleming's, and how that changes in Sanak being able to step out and make threes and the talent he has. How challenging was it this year for Coach Sampson to take what he's always done and maybe make slight alterations potentially on the offensive side, or how he was there any kind of alterations based on the talent he had this year relative to what he's had in past years?
Of course, absolutely. And we've had guys that were similar to these to both Kingston and Chris in the past. They just maybe didn't have the size, length, attributes that make them so desirable at the next level. Jamal Shedd was a monster. Right. And Jamal Shedd's burst and his athleticism is pretty similar to Kingston. Going back a couple of years, Fabian White, was a big-time three-point shooting four-man that we had was our best player on the Elite Eight team in 2022. So we've had guys similar to them, maybe just not on the same team. We've got a holy trinity here that we live by, we die by, and that we're going to defend, we're going to rebound, we're going to take care of the ball. Those are the three absolute things that we, every single Coach Sampson coach team here at the University of Houston is going to be able to do. We're going to defend you, we're going to rebound it, we're going to take care of it. How we fill our bucket with the other stuff is going to be based off of our personnel. Great example is last year I thought we stumbled out of the gates a little bit because we were asking Milos to run Jamal Shedd's offense. We were 4-3 at one point. Well, you fast forward through the rest of the year, we went 31-2 because we we began to run the offense. We built the offense around Milos, and away that team went. This year, we built the offense, and we built a lot of what we're doing around around Kingston and what he can do. And then when it's and where we've found a really good version of us here lately is that when King's off the floor, like we went on a 14-0 run to get back into the Arizona game in the Conference Tournament, King was exhausted three games, 3 days. He just didn't play good. And we put Milos back at the one, and we ran Milos' offense. And so being able to switch our fighting style mid-fight has become a strength of this team. And we felt like that was one of the adjustments and things we needed to be able to do was if there's a left-handed hitter, you got to throw your lefties out of the bullpen. If there's a right-handed hitter, you got to match the pitcher with him. So
has that always been the case?
I think it's made us.
Has that always been the case, Coach? Has your dad, as Coach Sampson, always done that, or is he kind of evolving as a coach?
Yeah, no, 100%. You've got these ideas of who you want to be, but then the best coaches have a way of listening to their team, and their team never lies to them. Coach says it all the time in our staff meetings, but if you'll just shut up long enough to let your team talk to you, they won't lie to you. And he's won with so many different offenses. He's won so many different ways. I think that's also the his experience in the NBA and how many different iterations of a roster that you have gave him the skill set to find solutions regardless of what our roster looks like. And that's why our worst basketball that we want to play every year is in November. We don't want to be the best version of us coming out the gates in November. The best teams find a way to improve every month. And if you do a great job of listening to your team and you listen to your bunch, you're going to improve every month. And we're a hell of a lot better version of us right now in March than we were in February. You know that. And I think that's a byproduct of, as a staff, we do a good job of using our two ears and not necessarily using our one mouth all the time.
Before we let you go, Kellen Sampson with us here on ESPN 97.5. Talk a little bit about Illinois. The first thing you notice is how big they are, but they're athletic. They're well coached. This is a really good basketball team you're playing on Thursday night.
Man, great. They got a terrific team. They got a great offensive scheme to match their team, just like what we were talking about. And they've got an experienced coach. Coach Underwood's been doing this a long time. Obviously, he had a I preceded him at Stephen F. Austin, he had an awesome run at Stephen F. Austin. He then went to Oklahoma State, and now he's been at Illinois 8 or 9 years and has had an incredible run there. They've both of us have teams that if we could redo maybe 1 week in the regular season or, Illinois lost 4 overtime games this year. If they go 500 in those games, they're probably a 2 or a 1 seed. If we'd had a little better week in the middle of February, we would have been a 1 seed. And so you've got 2 1-seed caliber teams that just maybe stubbed their toe at the wrong time, and that's what's made this a Sweet 16 game instead of a Final Four game. That's how good both of these teams that will play Thursday night are. It's going to take the absolute best effort from us to win, but in the same token, it's going to take the absolute best effort from Illinois to win. It should be the game of the Sweet 16 against two teams that absolutely are Final Four caliber. And we look forward to continuing the preparation for the fight, but we look forward to that bell dinging and getting after it.
Yep. Kellen Sampson, Thursday night, 9:00. Let's go. Can't be more excited about it, Coach. Congratulations on you guys are playing some great basketball right now. Keep it up. Take care of business. And let's talk next week as you're going to the Final Four.
Hey, we're going to get rid of this curse one way or the other.
What? This is it. This is it. We're
absolutely. Now,
we're going to talk next week, and we're going to talk about how this was this conversation was the springboard to us getting to Indianapolis. Hey, I hope all of Houston, the city, just enjoys the magic that these two days will be. I know Cougar Nation is fired up and is going to show out this weekend, but the other three teams are coming with monster, massive fan bases.
Yeah.
That have a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. Downtown, midtown, everywhere in town should be buzzing. If you own a bar, I hope that you have overstocked your inventory of Busch Lights, because Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois fans coming from the Midwest, drink that stuff like it's liquid gold.
I'm trying to tell them not to come down, Coach, because the TSA lines are so long to get out of town, they'll never get out of town.
Hopefully,
so, hey, do us a favor and don't even come. Do yourself a favor. Yeah. Don't even come down.
Let's
let Cougar fans get. I mean, Nebraska fans will walk here if they need to.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to keep them out.
I don't think we'll be that fortunate, but it's going to be, the electricity is going to be awesome. It's going to be palpable. Between the World Baseball Classic this, we got the World Cup, like Houston's the sports mecca of the world. And I know as a city, we're going to put our best foot forward and we look forward to showcasing the best of Houston this weekend, which should be the Cougars.
PGA Tour's here that day, Astros opening day. Cougs cap it off on Thursday night at 9:00. So what a day! What a weekend we've got here in the city. You're right, Coach. This is the best place to be sports wise in the nation. Coach, we appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for spending time with us. Go get them.
Hey, sounds good. Talk soon, guys.
All right, there he is, Coach Kellen Sampson, with us here. The coach, and you know what? When he takes over, he's gonna go, what? John Lance. That they always, They always took care of me before when I was nothing. They were
nothing.
Well,
nothing.
Well, I'm not saying he's nothing. I'm just saying
he shouldn't even mention you two.
Of one of the best programs in the country.
I'm his biggest proponent. He shouldn't be mentioning you two at all.
No.
Yeah, you're his proponent for a different way.
No, you're.
Yeah, I want him to be the head man.
You're the problem.
Peaky Blinders.
I just want him to be the man he can be. That means taking over the job. That's all. I'm looking forward to the Kellen Sampson era.
We were here when he was climbing that ladder.
That's
you
fine.
Just keep on trying to bring him
That's
down.
That's fine. I'm not bringing him down. I'm a guy who's ready to start the Kellen Sampson era.
You want him to turn on his father.
I didn't say turn on him. I just said sometimes you got to make moves. I'm not saying be disrespectful. But,
just make
a move.
No, he ain't busting a move.
Was it Bruce Pearl who you can – I think it was him who suggested that if this goes the way we want it to go for the Cougs, Kellen may not have to make a move. This could be like, hey, the swan song.
Oh, no, yeah. Bruce Pearl got into the fact that if Kellen won a champion – he thinks if he gets to a Final Four
– even just
Kellen
the Final
can
Four.
Step back, yeah.
No way. He wants to get that title.
Well, Bruce Pearl said – I know Kelvin Sampson, and he's gone if he gets the final.
He didn't say that exactly.
But he did say he thought maybe they said, does he have to win a championship? He goes, I think if he gets to a Final Four, that could be it. He goes, and the succession plan is right there in the building, Kellen Sampson. So he's well aware. It wouldn't shock me if he's talked to Kellen Sampson, obviously. Both longtime coaches. He may have already talked to Kellen about this. I don't know. Now, I don't think Kellen knows what he's going to do, so there's no way Kellen Sampson could know for sure until – he feels it until he sees what it's like. If he loses to Illinois, he's coming back. Ain't no doubt in my mind Kelvin Sampson's back. If he keeps going further, I don't know. But he did say the end is getting near for him. He said that multiple times when he was discussing Kelvin Sampson. So I think he knows Kelvin's ready to turn it over to his son. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. All right, let's break. News of the Weird. Not going to be long, but it's going to be here next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right. Here's a weird story. Peeing in somewhere other than a bathroom. A Pensacola woman has been arrested for allegedly peeing on and damaging furniture items in two local Airbnbs. Apparently, she put the peeing incidents on an adult content website. The owner documented the damage with photos and reported a strong odor of urine in the residence. She reportedly found an antique crown royal chair, rug, typewriter, four dining room chairs, coffee maker, bed, TV record player, toaster, and electric fireplace, and she peed all over them. She has a lot of pee, this woman. And apparently she likes to pee all over stuff and put it on a website. Do you want to watch her pee all over stuff?
No.
Lance has a particular fetish, and it isn't that.
No. I like pretty feet.
Yeah. He does like pretty feet.
That's totally taken out of context.
Huh.
Why would people want to watch her peeing on different items?
Well, I don't know why.
Come on, John.
I don't know.
You've heard a lot of stories about OnlyFans stuff that's women are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing stuff.
Well, she's...
Bathwater, fart in a bottle. Does that ring a bell?
She caused over $5,300 worth of damage, which she'll have to pay for.
Yeah.
How much do you think she made on her pee videos?
I don't know. Do you have an answer?
I don't have an answer.
I'm saying a lot more than she is going to have to pay.
You think people unless she's at the like beginning seeing of the her pee on stuff.
I'm just saying, I know how freaky men are. Men are the biggest freak. It's been really disappointing to learn that our gender, what a bunch of pervs they are in the OnlyFans
era. Yeah, there's a reason she's peeing on all that stuff.
Yeah.
Someone, either some
big, for fun.
Big spender requested it, or it's just a request for a lot of her fans. She didn't just do that.
Can't you just stay in the foot game and just get out of the pee
game?
Yeah.
Just look at people's
well,
toes.
Well, maybe you're trying to corner the market peeing on the pee game.
I know.
Stop peeing on everybody.
Maybe the whole...
I like pretty feet.
Maybe that's coming down as far as...
two girls, one cup didn't just happen out of nowhere.
What are you doing?
Somewhere someone wanted that. Adele, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
I'm trying to shut this down. Your show's next.
I don't want... That's awful what you just did.
Maybe the weirdest story we've ever had on News of the Weird.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Dana Brown says he's trying to extend both Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena.
Yeah.
Pena and Brown are two big targets for us. You got the pitcher and the position player are our two pillars for the future. If you can get those guys extended, those are wins.
Is Dana Brown going to be around to do the extending?
You got ball sacked.
No, Chandler Rome quoted him.
No, that's, yeah.
The question we're going to be asking, you know, with Mapes and I, is Dana Brown even going to be around to sign those guys?
Well, this year?
Well, he thinks he's getting extensions done this year?
Yeah. He's going to get done. Well, although Hunter Brown did say, yeah, we haven't had any talk.
Yeah, what are we talking about? He did this last
believe
he did
all
this,
this
the last time around. With
that's why he said it's weird.
It's the news of the... This
news
is
of the
literally,
ridiculous. It ain't weird.
News of the
lies?
News of the yawn.
Not
who
a
cares?
Chance.
You got what? Boris.
They're
is,
both Boris guys.
They're
not
Boris
making
guys.
It to free agency.
You know what? Let me give you a hometown discount here and we'll
sign
for
early.
Another couple years.
Yeah, that's what they do. They sign
Come
early.
Come on.
Yeah.
Never bring
sign
that
early
up again.
Because they can't get deals after their contracts are
I
up.
Know. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for that World Series MVP and one of the best right-handers in the game.
Weren't Nationals fans taking like victory laps when Bregman took forever and opt-outs, and then look what eventually happened. What are we talking about? The Cubs gave him all the money. Stop it. This is ridiculous. Why'd you bring this to the show?
Because it's weird.
It's
we
weird.
Don't extend players. We don't keep our own.
They're not. They're trying to make it look
good. That's how weird
that's
it
just
is.
That's just
Dana Brown just saying
hey, look
stuff.
At us. We're trying to do something, guys. Don't be upset at us. See, we're doing something.
He did this with Bregman and Tucker. Stop. Before
and then
those guys departed.
And then the player says, what?
Yeah. Fromber, too. I think he alluded
what did you just
stuff.
Say? You said you're doing deals.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of that stuff.
Why are you wasting his time? Everyone wants to go, and you're bringing this up.
What are we doing? I got to do mock draft live.
Yeah,
we're
he's
done. Mopey and Mapes are next. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
What a downer for the show.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Bye, bitch.
I'm Nicole.